Hello there, I'm Aaron Martell.
And I'm the professor.
And welcome to Ridiculous Rock Record Reviews, a podcast where we talk about and review a rock album of our choice. This episode, we're going to review Donald Fagen's 1982 album, The Nightfly. So, Prof, where do you come in with Donald Fagen's solo work and this particular record?
Well, MTV. I saw the New Frontiers video on MTV, and I just love the nostalgia of it. How it was named New Frontiers, the song, after the Kennedy speech, which is what he said it was. That was his acceptance speech for the Democratic National Convention. We stand today at the edge of a new frontier, the frontier of the 60s, the frontier of the unknown opportunities, perils, and the frontier of unfulfilled hopes and unfulfilled threats or unfilled whatever the shit. So that's what he said. But that's what kind of got me about the song immediately. So I was even just like a history nerd back then. The bomb shelter, the early modernist cartoon characters, the song, the whole thing, the video just caught me. And it wasn't played often, nowhere near the heavy rotation of like White Wedding or Little Red Corvette or Def Leppard's Photograph. But still, it stuck with me. And I don't recall hearing anything else from this album. I know Fagen did a song for the heavy metal animated movie soundtrack. I didn't have any clue who Donald Fagen was beyond this song. I knew nothing about his part of Steely Dan, and the song just appealed to me, you know, beyond the video, too. And fast forward about 15 years, and I'm back in the States. Recently out of the Air Force, Marcy and I are starting out, and I came across a flyer in the Sunday morning paper. Remember those?
Mm-hmm.
The Sunday morning paper was an event.
Big and thick.
Yeah, and you know the flyer. 15 CDs for a buck. Good old Columbia House. And lo and behold, Donald Fagen's The Nightfly was one of my picks. And I looked up the track listing and I went, it's got that New Frontier song. I'm gonna give it a shot. Which led me to Steely Dan, which led me to my 30-plus year love of jazz. Not all of it, but a pretty good swath. And that's my story with this album.
All right. To me, Donald Fagen was Steely Dan, at least his voice was. I actually didn't know what his, kind of like you, Prof, I didn't know what his name was for the longest time. And though I've been a Dan fan for quite a while, I wasn't even aware that the group had broken up in 1981. I mean, I didn't follow them that closely. I just figured they disappeared. I didn't think much about them. So when this album came out, it didn't even blip on my radar. And I never paid any attention to Donald Fagen's solo career until you and I had a conversation about Steely Dan, Prof. And you mentioned this album. I never saw that video for New Frontier. I don't remember
really?
It. Yeah, I don't remember it at all. So I think our conversation stuck in my head when I stumbled across this album on vinyl at the record store a couple of years ago. So I just bought it on impulse. And this is the first album I listened to for the first time on vinyl since I was like in my mid-teens.
Wow.
And it turns out I knew a couple of tracks on this from the radio. Now I'll give you some basic facts about this record plucked off its Wikipedia page. The Nightfly is the debut studio album by American singer-songwriter Donald Fagen, released on October 1st, 1982 on Warner Brothers Records. It was produced by Gary Katz and was recorded from 1981 to 1982 at Soundworks Digital Audio Video Recording Studios, New York City, New York, Automated Sound, New York City, New York, and Village Recorders, Los Angeles, California. It reached number 11 on the U.S. Billboard 200 chart and is certified platinum by the RIAA. And here's the musician's lineup card, and it's a big one, folks. You want to skip ahead? Yeah, be my guest. We've got Donald Fagen on lead vocals, synthesizers, organ, piano, electric piano, synth, blues harp, and background vocals. Dave Bergeron on trombone and euphonium. Michael Brecker on tenor saxophone. Randy Brecker on trumpet and flugelhorn. Ronnie Cuber on baritone saxophone. David Tofani on alto saxophone, Larry Carlton on lead guitar, Rick Derringer on guitars, Dean Parks on guitars, Steve Kahn on acoustic guitar, Hugh McCracken on guitars and harmonica, Anthony Jackson on bass, Chuck Rainey on bass, Marcus Miller on bass, Abraham Laborio on bass, Will Lee on bass. Greg Filangianese, if I pronounce that wrong, I'm very sorry, on piano, electric piano, synthesizers, synthesizer bass, and clavinet. Michael O'Martian on piano and electric piano. Rob Mountsey on synthesizers. James Gadson on drums. Jeff Porcaro on drums. Ed Green on drums. Steve Jordan on drums. Stars Vanderlockett, is that his real name? Percussion and background vocals. Frank Floyd on background vocals. Gordon Grody on background vocals. Zachary Sanders on background vocals. Valerie Simpson on background vocals. Daniel Lazarus on background vocals. And finally, Leslie Miller on background vocals. Whew! All right, let's begin a track-by-track analysis of this album. We lead off with IGY, written by Donald Fagen.
The future looks bright on that train, all graphite and glitter, undersea by rail. 90 minutes from New York to Paris, well, by 76 we'll be A-OK. What a beautiful world this will be. What a glorious time to be free. What a beautiful world this will be.
Prof, start us off.
Well, the song's title stands for the International Geophysical Year, which was from July 1st, 1957 to December 31st, 1958. This period was chosen because of it was the maximum solar activity for what was known as Solar Cycle 19. And the solar cycle is a 10.5-year recurring cycle where the sun's polarity is flipped, meaning what's north is south and what's south is north, throwing excessive magnetic energy and radiation through the solar system, sunspots, disrupting radio communications, the Earth's own magnetic field, as well as having phenomenon like the Aurora Borealis be visible further south than normal. Also has them having color changes instead of being the regular green. There was an intense red auroral display that frightened people in Europe on February 11th, 1958. And they were visible from many cities in the U.S. as far south as the 40th parallel, which is like Ohio, which is really rare that it would be down there. This geomagnetic storm caused a radio blackout over North America. Jeez, it just would mess with everything. They were visible for over New York on November 13th, 1960, and on October 1st, 1961. The IGY concentrated on 11 Earth sciences: auroral, cosmic rays, geomagnetism, gravity, ionospheric physics, precision cartography, meteorology, oceanography, seismology, and solar activity. It marked the end of a 9-year period during the Cold War when scientific interchange between the East and West had been seriously interrupted. Really, the Soviet participation was helped after the death of Stalin in 1953. 67 countries participated in these projects, and all of this proves that young Donald Fagen, who was all of 10 at the time, was a science nerd and he spent a lot of time alone. No, really, this is the beginning of the space age and the start of the space race. The Soviet launched Sputnik 1 October 4th, 1957. Sputnik 2 was launched on November 3rd, 1957. And the U.S. launched Explorer 1 on February 1st, 1958, and Vanguard on March 17th, 1958. I like how the subtle start with like that Dreamweaver vibe has the bass and the electric piano before that bouncy melody kicks in and then the synth and the horns. Standing tough under the stars and stripes, we can tell the dream's in sight. You've got to admit, at this point in time, it's clear. The future looks bright. The first verse really captures that optimism of the times. This is post-war. Everything's good. People have jobs. We're in space. Science is cool. And then on that train, all graphite and glitter, undersea by rail, 90 minutes from New York to Paris. Well, by 76, we'll be A-OK. This part is wild. It illustrates the proposal as what was known as the VAC train, which was proposed in 1960. It's a 3,100-mile-long near-vacuum tube using a theoretical type of magnetic train, which could travel at speeds up to 5,000 miles per hour, And at this speed, travel time between New York and London would be less than an hour. And it was supposed to go in under the Atlantic Ocean.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about you, but I'm not getting on that train.
No.
I'm certainly not going to be one of the first people on it. What a beautiful world this will be. What a glorious time to be free. Yeah, glorious indeed. Get your ticket to that wheel in space while there's time. The fix is in. You'll be a witness to that game of chance in the sky. You know we've got to win. And this is the notion of living in space, in a space station orbiting the Earth. This is the time of flying cars. Remember, we were supposed to have those by the year 2000?
Oh, yeah.
This is all about the space race, and it's a race that the West, and specifically the U.S., has just got to win. Just like that line from The Right Stuff credited to the then Senate Majority Leader Lyndon Johnson upon being told of Sputnik, and I'm paraphrasing here, the communists have established a foothold in space. Pretty soon they'll be dropping nuclear bombs on us from space platforms like rocks from a highway overpass, which, believe it or not, was a real concern. Here at home, we'll play in the city powered by the sun. Perfect weather for a streamlined world. There'll be spandex jackets, one for everyone. They're talking about nuclear energy, solar power, clean, sustainable, and virtually infinite source of energy. And spandex jackets line is really interesting since the DuPont chemist, Joseph Shivers, just invented it as a synthetic silk alternative known for its elasticity in 1958. The material spandex was branded as Lycra, a machine to make big decisions, programmed by fellows with compassion and vision. We'll be clean and their work is done. We'll be eternally free and eternally young. We're going to be so good at the future that we'll have massive computers taking care of our every need, keeping us healthy and safe. And it's ironic that I was typing this on an iPhone that had more computing power in my palm than what we took to the lunar missions.
Hmm.
Historically speaking, or culturally, it's a nod to the American studies, U.S. history's stepbrother, redheaded stepbrother, by the way. This song is on point. And did I mention the nostalgia aspect of this album that it appealed to me? That's why. The thing was chock full of pretty good facts that I'm sure most people went, huh? What's he talking about a spandex jacket for?
So the sound very much makes me think of Steely Dan, especially coming right after Gaucho. This sounds like the next step to me. It's got that smooth jazz rock framed with Greg Filangeni's electric piano and synthesizers played by Fagan and Rob Mouncey over a shuffle rhythm played by James Gadson on drums and Anthony Jackson on bass. And it doesn't really swing. It's a little bit too precise, but it gives the track its character. And then we have a murderer's row of session horn players on this. We've got the Brecker brothers, Michael on tenor sax and Randy on trumpet, Dave Tafani on alto sax, Ronnie Cuber on baritone sax, and Dave Bargeron on trombone. All of these players have credits longer than the Golden State Bridge, and they all combine on the song's main melody that grabs your ear. Hugh McCracken and Rick Derringer's guitars are understated and back in the mix, and the production is ultra pristine and flawless, as this was one of the first albums recorded digitally as opposed to analog, and you can definitely hear it. Fagan himself delivers those distinctive mid-range nasal vocals, and he also plays a synth harmonica solo that sounds very little like an actual harmonica, but it fits sonically with everything else going on here. Now, the biggest difference with this from Steely Dan, at least from my perspective, are the lyrics, which are surprisingly positive, and Prof went into great detail about them, so I'm not going to elaborate further on that. But I will say, you never heard a Steely Dan chorus saying, "What a beautiful world this will be." That's for sure.
No, not at all.
But the chorus is as catchy as the Dan. This is one of the two tracks from this record I knew. I'd heard this on the radio many times, and it was the first single that reached number 26 on the U.S. Billboard Hot 100 chart. The next track is Green Flower Street, written by Donald Fagan.
Uptown, it's murder. Out in the street, uptown, it's murder. Out in the street, that's where I found my man Duplum. That's where you'd be if you found one. Where the days are bright and joy is complete. Keep us clear on Green Flower Street.
Prof, hit me.
So after IGY, where Fagan gave us the setting, at least the timeline setting, or his mental framework of this behind of what he was using behind this album, I don't really want to call it a concept album because that implies an element of fictionalization. As I listen to this, I hear a particularly poignant phrase one of my professors said about historians, how everyone's first major work is really autobiographical, either straightforward or to illustrate how historical events impacted the authors personally. And sometimes those events and personal impact can be centuries apart, but it really does come from what your own experience is. And it's kind of true when you read people's thesis, and particularly mine. Mine was about Ohio and just what works. I'm from there, so that's what happened. What can I say? Nerds and their thoughts. Fagan here is sharing his adolescent fantasies about a New York Asian chick. He's got the hots for her. And her gay brother, or I don't know exactly what he is, or does the brother think that Donald is queer? It's left open for interpretation. This idealized woman lover is from 39 minutes southeast of Passaic in the Big Apple. And the electric piano riff that hints at a mode for the entire song is answered by a repeated descending bass run that sets the modal groove and drives the song along. The mode only changes for the chorus and then returns for the verses. Uptown, it's murder, out in the street. And it sets that kind of, it's got like a sinister tone to it. Kind of like a film noir thing. I mean, it really tells a good story. And then when he goes into Since May, There's Trouble Almost Every Night, he's talking about the Asian American movement, which was a socio-political grassroots movement that was centered in San Francisco, Los Angeles, and New York City. It was called the Yellow Power Movement and was feared for a brief period to imply violence and riots similar to those associated with the Black Panthers. Of course, that's not what's in Asian culture, so they didn't do that. But that's what he's saying. There's been trouble every night. There's been fights. There's been the authorities have been cracking down, and it's murder out in the street. And that's where I found my Mandarin plum. And that's where you'd be if you found one. Poor horny little Brunton, little Donald. The song is a novel idea of finding love in the midst of social upheaval, unrest, and the threat of violence. It sets an interesting juxtaposition in the storyline of the song. The call and response between the synth, which sound like horns, and the jazz-style guitar solo is so well executed, that screams the Dan to me. That's what they would do so easily. And then Liu Chang, her brother, is burning with rage. I'd like to know what's on his mind. He says, hey, buddy, you're not my kind. That's where the implication of that he's gay or he thinks that Donald is gay, whatever. The only thing I don't like about this song is the electric drum sound. And even the crescendo and the big finish of the song harkens back to a big band style, which, again, is really well done.
So this has that groovy, smooth jazz feel with the electric piano and Chuck Rainey's funky bass line. And this time it's Jeff Porcaro on the drums that brings a shuffle feel on the hi-hat that's applied to a straight beat. It sounds cool. The guitars are far panned left and right, and they're muted notes and chords for the most part. In headphones, it sounds cool as shit. Larry Carlton takes the lead guitar solo spot and keeps it tasteful. He even follows the synths on the chorus melody as it finishes up. Fagan sings this with restraint as the atmosphere is somewhat muted and mysterious. You mentioned that, Prof. And the lyrics are about a guy who finds himself an Asian girlfriend in a bad part of town where trouble and murder go down. Our boy finds solace with his lover, but her brother is not happy with the relationship since our boy is not their kind. I assumed it to be that he didn't like his sister being with a white guy. I could be wrong.
I mean, he left it really open for interpretation, which is the mark of a good writer.
Yeah, so that's how I interpreted it instead of like a homosexual thing. The lyrics may be dark, but the music goes down easy. Good tune. The following track is Ruby Baby, written by Jerry Lieber and Mike Stoller, arranged by Donald Fagan. Professor, your thoughts?
It's the unrequited love song. Donnie is pining for some girl named Ruby, and he's going to sing about it in a jazzy show's tune style with hints of the Andrews Sisters. It's really a cover song from the Drifters, originally done in a doo-wop style, released in 1956. And I do love how the song builds with that drum beat and hi-hat pattern, the dual piano and bass groove, the organ vamp, and the electric piano along with the trumpet, and that faint kiss and sigh at 26 seconds before the song's main melody takes over is just, it's just perfectly placed in there. And the bass player is killing it in this song. Donnie's got a girl, and Ruby is her name. She don't love him, but he loves her just the same. He's going to haunt her like a ghost. He felt this way from the sunny day he met her. When will she be his? And then the piano solo on this is just, man, it's jaw-droppingly good. Each time I see you, baby, my heart cries. I'm going to steal you away from all those guys. I've got some loving and money, too. I'm going to give it all to you. This song is miles apart from the doo-wop version of the original. The play out with the crowd noises and the hand claps. I feel like I'm in a jazz club downtown in Manhattan, one below street level that has just been grooving and popping off with this song and clapping and hollering right along with my copy of J.D. Salinger's Catcher in the Rye tucked under my arm. It just brings back all these weird things. So,
a Lieber and Stoller cover that was originally a hit for the Drifters in 1956. You already said that, Prof. And covered by a bazillion other artists. Here it's done up in the jazzy Steely Dan style. Fagan is on the synths, organ, and electric piano. The Brecker Brothers are on the horns. And Valerie Simpson of Ashford and Simpson fame is on the background vocals. Anthony Jackson lays down that smooth R&B bass line. And we even get some hand claps and Greg Philly, that's what I'm going to call him from now on the acoustic piano solo. Ruby don't love our boy, but he loves her, and he's going to stalk her and steal her away from the other guys, and he'll stop at nothing to get her. He's got some love and money to give to her. Let's have a party at the studio. Originally, the crowd noise was going to be a recording from Studio 54, but that didn't work out too much, so they brought the people into the studio and just recorded the crowd noise from there. More smooth, easy-listening jazz rock that won't upset your stomach. This was the third single from the album that apparently did not chart. I couldn't find it anyway. The next track is Maxine, written by Donald Fagen.
Some say that we're reckless. They say we're much too young. Tell us to stop before we've begun. We've got to hold out.
Professor, let's have it.
First of all, what a cool name, right? Some chick named Maxine. We used to know a guy that was a friend of my wife's mother, and he was always teasing her about Maxine, who lives across the street, and it always reminded me of this song. So anyway, this song is he's gonna croon a bit. It's the smooth jazz and probably what was considered adult contemporary in the late 50s and 60s. This is probably the music that Fagan's parents listened to get their groove on. Lyrically, the song is about a girl he wants to run away with, build a life with. They're going to move up to Manhattan and fill the place with friends, drive to the coast and drive right back again. One day we'll wake up, make love, but till then, try to hang on, Maxine. Yeah, it has that kind of Don Draper idealistic vibe to it. I do like the line about Mexico City. It's like another world. Nice this year, they say. This was also the time that Acapulco became the place to go.
I remember that.
Yeah. So this is...
There were like commercials for it and shit.
Mm-hmm. It was a destination to go to because it was better to go to than Paris. Nobody wanted to go over there after the Reconstruction. And people didn't want to go there because of the war or after... the aftermath of the war. So they were like, hey, we can go to Acapulco. Look at that place. So these first couple songs just have so much history built in them. So, and I know it's just a big nostalgic look at his formative years, but man, it's so well done. And it's so easily to relate to this.
The acoustic piano intro played by Phil and Genese, I'm really sorry, guy, I keep pronouncing your name wrong, makes you think
hopefully
of...
he's dead and he'll never hear it.
Makes you think of late nights in a Midtown jazz club, and then the piano is accompanied by Fagan's electric piano and jazzy organ flourishes. Carlton's smooth and clean guitar licks, and jazz giant Marcus Miller on what sounds like fretless bass to my ears. The Brecker brothers are back on the horns. Michael Brecker gets a sweet tenor sax solo, while Ronnie Cuber is on baritone sax and Dave Bargeron is on the euphonium. We hear multi-tracked Fagan singing as a young man who tells his girl Maxine about his future plans for them together. Meeting at the Lincoln Mall, taking a pleasure trip to Mexico City, getting a place in Manhattan, taking a drive to the coast. Yeah, it's nice when the world is your oyster and you got your whole life ahead of you, I guess. This has a slow, mellow vibe, and sure, I can dig it, man.
It's so different from a Steely Dan song because it's so hopeful.
Yes. So let's flip the imaginary record over and drop the imaginary needle on New Frontier, written by Donald Fagan.
It's just the dugout that my dad built, in case the rest decide to push the button down. We've got provisions and lots of beer. The key word is survival.
Prof, here we are.
Well, I didn't know that this was the first song in side B because I've only had this on CD. But hey, he's going to have a wingding, a summer smoker underground, and his dad's bomb shelter. What a fear-based money waste that was. So the survivalist movement was born in that post-war era after the Twin Shocks in 1949. Soviets develop the bomb and China goes communist. Everybody gets scared. He wants to know if that big blonde with a touch of Tuesday Weld has a steady boyfriend, and she likes Brubeck, which is California jazz icon, and he likes her eyes, and he likes Brubeck too. He's just biding his time. He can't wait till he moves to the city, till he finally makes up his mind to learn design and study overseas. This is Fagan's 1979, like the Smashing Pumpkins, a song in the same idea, nostalgic with some teen angst, lust, and that frustrating prepubescent period of life where you're not really a child and you're not quite an adult yet and you're waiting for everything to get started and it just takes time and no one wants to wait and has the patience for it. This was an album single. It got decent rotation on MTV. He's trying hard to get with this big blonde. Let's pretend that it's the real thing and stay together all night long. And when I really get to know you, we'll open up the doors and climb into the dawn. After a night of passion, a rite of passage. This is a song that could have been used in the Miss Maisel series. Larry Carlton's licks are a highlight of the song. They kind of sneak up on you. His solo is understated brilliance. I also love the electric piano interplay during the guitar solo. It's brief, but then again, I love electric piano. Again, a song with so many instrumental layers and passages to discover over and over. This is a great headphone song. He's played this one in concert since it's come out. And he plays it with Steely Dan even before Walter died. I always loved this song. I've never gotten tired of this one.
This is carried by that cool-ass R&B-flavored bass line played by Abraham Laboriel, a cat who played on over 4,000 recordings. And everyone kind of plays off that bass, from Ed Green's drums and cowbell to Fagan's galloping synths and the memorable main melody played on acoustic and electric piano by Michael O'Martian. Carlton's guitar is panned hard left again, and McCracken blows on a harmonica every now and then, and you hear it in the background and go, wait, I know I just heard that. That was a harmonica, right? Stars Vander Lock, I love that name, shakes some maracas, and Fagan once again does all the voices, as this time our narrator's hanging out and throwing a party in the fallout shelter his dad built, in case those Reds want to start nuclear war. He sees a blonde that looks like the actress Tuesday Weld and gets her to come on down to the shelter with him. He wants to get to know her. Hey, I don't blame you, Donnie. Tuesday Weld. She's into Dave Brubeck just like he is. They can pretend the war is happening and make some plans as they spend the night together. Nothing seduces a girl like pretending it's your last night on Earth. Everybody knows that. Am I right, JFK? We stand today on the edge of a new frontier.
I'm shipping out tomorrow, honey. Come on. Don't let me die a virgin.
Another super catchy track. This was the other tune from this record I knew, and it was the second single that reached number 70 on the Billboard Hot 100 chart. The following track is the title track, The Night Fly, written by Donald Fagen.
I'm less than the night fly. Hello, Baton Rouge. Won't you turn your radio down? Respect the 7 second delay we use. So you say there's a race of men in the trees. You're for tough legislation. Thanks for calling. Wait all night for calls like.
What do you say, Professor P?
Fagen is being Lester, the overnight DJ from a jazz station. You know, the guy who can play all the cool stuff because advertising dollars are not concentrated in the daylight hours. He's from WJAZ, which incidentally is a real radio station operated by Temple University in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Oddly enough, that station is an FM broadcast, which doesn't really fit the same bill about this going back to IGY, because this is the stuff that certainly young Donnie listened to and his well-known love of jazz music. Also, the cool thing about late night AM radio is the ionosphere expands without the direct solar radiation. Radio waves travel further. Sometimes in Ohio, you could tune into an AM radio station from the West, California or Arizona, and you'd hear it clear as day. Or in this case, from the foot of Mount Belzoni, which is a place in Mississippi. It's not an actual mountain, but it's a city north of Jackson along Interstate 49 West. Lester is likely in Mississippi because he's at the foot of Mount Belzoni, which could be just the antenna on top of the building. He's receiving a call from Baton Rouge. With the right conditions, a listener in Baton Rouge could tune in easily to this signal. Since it's jazz and conversation, he's getting a call saying, "Hello, Baton Rouge. Won't you turn your radio down? Respect the 7 second delay we use." I love the snark in that passage. And I love this part where it says, "So you say there's a race of men in the trees. You're for tough legislation. Thanks for calling. I wait all night for calls like these." Crackpot late night caller. That's just gold, Jerry, gold. I just like how he's got plenty of Java and Chesterfield Kings. It's a night owl's required fuel. But our DJ's heart's been broken, and he's still really just a guy. He wishes he had a heart like ice. If you want your honey to look super swell, you must spring for that little blue jar. Patton's kiss and tell. Kiss and tell. A lot of conjecture about this, about what he's talking about on this, on the internet. So I don't know. Everybody has looked it up. He was selling a Patton's kiss and tell bandana at Steely Dan's shows for a while, and they would fly out of there. You could never buy one. I tried to get one, but they would always sell out. And I love where he goes, where he sings about tonight, you're still on my mind. I'm sure that, you know, young Donnie could have heard a similar rant while listening to jazz music on the radio in the wee hours of the night. And it's that first biting guitar solo. I think it's Larry Carlton or it's Rick Derringer playing it. But that first one is just great. And then the second one is like a response to it. It's just like a duel. That's some pretty good playing. Once again, so many layers of sounds going on in this song. And interesting layers. I always like how this one ended as well, with that lifting feeling, like the atmospheric effect that caused him to hear the station in the first place dissipates into nothingness. That's just always cool.
More mid-tempo, light jazz rock. Marcus Miller's bass work stands out again, and there's a lot of stop and start phrases among the guitar and keyboard parts. And Jeff Porcaro gives us more cowbell, baby. Larry Carlton and Rick Derringer, I believe, play lead solos that play off each other and serve the song with zero flash. And the music generally functions as the easy listening atmospheric backdrop to the vocals. Fagen affects an almost whiny tone on his voice, and lyrically it's about Lester the Nightfly, a late night disc jockey for independent jazz radio station WJAZ, who lives a lonely existence, but he's going to play some sweet jazz records and converse out on the airwaves, including advertising cosmetic products like Patton's Kiss and Tell and dealing with wackadoodle callers. And don't worry, Lester's got enough coffee and cigarettes to last until the sun comes through the skylight. I like this one, man. It's cool. Yeah, jazz.
I love the picture of him on the cover where he's being Lester.
Yes.
it's just, God, he's such a smart ass.
And I read that he was like kind of apprehensive about it because apparently, well, we know they never put their picture
on anything.
On an album cover. Right. Yeah. So, yeah. But he just said, hey, fuck it. It's my solo album. I'm going to do it. The penultimate track is The Goodbye Look, written by Donald Fagen.
I've had this feeling now since yesterday. Wake up, darling, they're knocking. The colonel's standing in the sun with a stupid face, the glasses and the gun. I know what happened. I read the book.
What do you make of this, Prof?
Won't you pour me a Cuban breeze, Gretchen?
Yeah.
I love this song. I love the music, the calypso overtones, and the lyrics. I can't tell if that's a xylophone or a vibraphone. Not definitively, but I lean more towards the xylophone due to it's kind of got that woody resonance instead of that tinny metal one. The way the xylophone and the guitar parts mesh is so cool with that percussive drive of the drums and the horns. And of course, the electric piano again. This song is set in the fall of Cuba to communism. And at the time before the full takeover, but just before, which is an idyllic place for a casual love and you know, making easy money. And you get yourself killed behind the big casino on the beach. The goodbye look indeed. I love how he says, now the Americans are gone except for two. The embassy's been hard to reach. There's been talk and lately a little bit of action after dark behind the big casino on the beach. The rules have changed. It's not the same. It's all new players in a whole new ball game. And I will wake up, darling. The colonel's standing in the sun with the stupid face, the glasses and the gun. Wow. He knows what happens. He read the book. He just got the goodbye look. They're arranging a small reception just for him behind the big casino by the sea. Mm-hmm. He's going to get killed.
Oh, yeah.
So, and he's going to have fun, but he's going to take off with Gretchen. So, I just like I said, I've always liked this tune. It's just kind of whimsical and fun. And with still that crazy, you know, historical reference and hint of danger.
Now, here's something different. This has an unmistakable Latin / Caribbean flavor in the rhythm and sounds. There's a steel drum or marimba-like sound that to me sounds like a synth. Maybe it is actually percussion, I'm not sure. And Porcaro is playing a samba beat on the drums. Vander Lockett is on conga percussion. And the guitarists accent the keyboards until Carlton takes a short bendy solo. The whole tune is trying to approximate a Cuban music vibe, which makes sense. Since the lyrics are about an American expat living in Cuba as a revolution is happening. And instead of getting off the island, he kind of puts it off until the embassy becomes hard to reach. And by the time the colonel with the stupid face, the glasses, and the gun takes over, he's trapped. And they're arranging his departure behind the big casino by the sea. The easy breezy music is a contrast to the seriousness of the lyrics. This is almost like a Steely Dan song, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And sonically, this is the outlier of the record. So it doesn't quite stick the landing for me. So, Gretchen, won't you pour me a Cuban breeze? Because this is
Aaron's stinky stinker.
And that brings us to the final track, Walk Between Raindrops, written by Donald Fagen.
Back to your door.
How about this last one, Professor?
This is another fun song, and it's a perfect one to end the album. To me, perhaps the guy in peril from the previous song somehow escaped, because, you know, they had a motorboat for hire, and is now living in Miami, carefree, you know, walking between the raindrops with his girl. You know, a shadow across the blue Miami sky. We hit the causeway by the big hotels. We fought. Now I can't remember why. And all the words we said, the tears are gone. We vowed we'd never say goodbye. It's got a witty double meaning in the walking between the storms of life with whoever you love under the umbrella of your relationship as you marvel at the adventures of your life, the sights and the sounds. I know it's corny, but damn it, it fits the song and the album, and I like it. I always like the way this one kind of has that big band with the shout back out with the Miami. It's just a good tune. It seems like something that Ricky Ricardo would have done, you know, or in a band like that. Everybody sitting behind their little bandstand with the names in front of them so they would hide their legs. I like this tune. So the happy day we find each other on that Florida shore, you'll open your umbrella and we'll walk between the raindrops back to your door. This is just a good song.
The last song to be recorded and done almost as an afterthought, we get a couple of different players on this one because it was done at the last minute. Steve Jordan is on the swinging drums and Will Lee is with him on the up and down walking bass that's boosted by Greg Filanganese back on the synthesizer bass. Both sounds were kind of combined to get the full bass line. Fagan's doing all the other keyboards, and this is bouncy and more up-tempo as it bebops along. Larry Carlton's doing his jazzy guitar licks, and Fagan wheels out the noodly organ solo. And the whole tune will get you bobbing your head. Yeah, man! So our narrator fights with his girl on the Miami shore by the big hotels, and though they break up, they promise never to actually say goodbye, and they kiss for the last time in the rain, for now at least. And our narrator dreams of a time when the rain comes again and they get back together on the Florida shore. I really like this one. It's a groovy little bop to end the record. Miami! Now that the track by track is completed, we'll get into our final thoughts and album ratings. For you new listeners, the rating is a 0 to 5 system, with 5 being a favorite album of ours, all the way down to a 0, which better get the fuck off the island pronto. The Colonel's coming. Professor Permi, give us your final thoughts on The Nightfly.
Well, if you can't tell already, I love this album. It is just a textured, whimsical journey through young Donald's idealistic and horny formative years as he was growing up in New Jersey. I have never grown tired of this in the 30-plus years that I've owned this. It was love at first listen then, and the shine has never come off for it for me. I understand how some people won't get it or won't like it for its stylings. And hey, that's okay. This album opened up the jazz door for me, and I had never heard of Brubeck, Miles, Monk, Coltrane, or Hancock without it. Nor would I have gotten and fallen in love with the entire Steely Dan catalog. Sound-wise, this album is a standard of mixing, leveling, and space between the musicians. This was a go-to album that people that really knew stereos would pick to burn in their speakers or burn in their headphones with. They wanted to hear how good the fidelity was going to be if the songs on this album came clear. That's kind of like the coolest thing you could say about the engineering of this album. It's a 5 all day, every day for me.
With the dissolution of Steely Dan in 1980, due to the strain between Donald Fagen and Walter Becker over their perfectionist ways, as well as depression and Becker's drug use, Fagan worked on a tune for the soundtrack to the movie Heavy Metal that got him back into the studio and got him thinking about making a solo record. By that point, Steely Dan had stopped touring and was purely a studio entity, and Fagan continued that approach as he ended up hiring 30-plus musicians to work on the new material. Deciding to record the album using new digital technology, the album's engineers took classes at 3M in St. Paul, Minnesota to learn how to use it. And when it came time to record the songs, each part was recorded separately and piecemealed together to form the tracks. This made the recording process fucking difficult, and many times Fagan wanted to transfer to analog recording, but they stuck it out. The album took 8 months to record over long sessions, and it was mixed in 10 days. The album cover was a black and white photograph of Fagan as late night disc jockey Lester the Nightfly speaking into an RCA 77DX microphone next to a turntable. And when the Nightfly was released, it was met with critical and commercial success. Unfortunately, after the release of this, his first solo album, Fagan entered therapy and kind of dropped out of public sight for quite a while. When I first heard this record, I thought, oh, it sounds like Steely Dan. And on the surface, that's true. It has the complexity of songwriting and melodies of classic Dan, but a more careful listen reveals subtle differences in the music that reflects Donald Fagan's tastes. This album dives further into the jazz influences that Fagan grew up with, listening to on the radio, with much less emphasis on the rock elements, and lyrically, it's an entirely different beast. Where Steely Dan's lyrics are obtuse and sardonic, these words are quite autobiographical and reflect a certain time period, the 50s and early 60s, in which Fagan grew up and remembers more fondly and wistfully. It was a simpler time. We've all heard that phrase before, but it really was. And the lyrics are mostly about trying to get laid, listening to the radio, and an overall optimistic outlook with just a dash of Cold War paranoia. The music is dense and very complex, but it doesn't sound like it unless you really listen closely, largely because the melodies have the catchy flavor that Steely Dan and Donald Fagan is known for, in addition to how pristinely the music was recorded. Now, I will say that if I put this up against the first seven Steely Dan albums, this doesn't quite measure up for me. Maybe I need the cynical sarcasm, or maybe it's just because I haven't had enough time to marinate with it. I don't know. I give the Nightfly a 3, and if you happen to be a Dan fan, or just a fan of expertly crafted jazz pop rock, I recommend you give this a listen. And that's going to do it for this episode. You can find this podcast on all the podcasting platforms wherever you listen to them. If you like what you hear, please subscribe or follow the podcast and leave us a review. If you'd like to contact us directly, we can be reached at ridiculousrockrecords@gmail.com or also on the Ridiculous Rock Record Reviews Facebook page, where there's a link to hear each podcast. We're also on Twitter at R4PodcastAaron and Instagram under R4Podcaster. Feel free to leave all of your feedback, comments, reviews, and or suggestions at any of those places I just described. We'd love to hear from you. So for the R4 Podcast, I'm Aaron.
I'm the Professor.
See ya, Miami!
Greg, fuck, you pronounce that name. Philogenes? Looks Greek.
Yeah.
Philogenes, that's what I'm going to say. It's got that smooth jazz rock framed with Greg
Yeah, some of the names.
Philogenes. It's, and that brings us to the final track, Walk Between. Mush mouthin'.